Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 30 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve. And this week, we're going to discuss some of the latest, the major topics that have taken place in the nerd community. We begin by discussing Disney Plus and their team up with some internet providers in order to defeat piracy. Star Wars may have a new series starring Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi. We also discuss some new research studies that are using microchips in the brain in order to defeat obesity. We have some talk around the Apex Legends and their developers getting in a fight with fans on the internet. And finally, we take our discussion out to outer space and discuss the bright lights coming from the Milky Way's black hole, our asteroid defense plans, and Elon Musk's thoughts on nuking Mars. Stick around, enjoy the show.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, nerds, and thanks for joining us for episode 30 of the Nerd Cantina Show. Steve, 30 episodes of our weekly show.
It's actually a little bit more than 30 if you count the Fight Me Fridays. We're chugging along here. It's been a fun ride.
Yeah, it's fun. And let's get started. Let's do our a quick recap of the big news in nerd stuff. We have some talks around. Maybe we'll go a little in depth if we have time later. So, first one, let's talk a little Disney Plus. As we know the pricing of Disney, we know a lot about what they're doing. And, one thing that's kind of, up in the air is Disney's talking about teaming up with Charter, being a major broadband carrier for a little effort of, stopping us password sharers from breaking in.
Yeah, keeping with the theme of Icon has all the monies. Disney is going to actively, you know, they kind of do this already with Hulu. You know, they check ISPs and you register your account to a certain region. And if you're outside of that region too close with timestamps and stuff like that, they kind of shut it down. But this is like, the first time they've put out like a press release letting pirates know that, hey, we're coming for you.
A lot of this has already been done. So, you know, Disney owns Hulu now, and Hulu does something similar. Like you said, if you have a Hulu account, you in Chicago, me in California, I can't log into your Hulu account off of like a Fire Stick or a Roku streaming device or anything that's a firm-based streaming service. And if I was going to log in from a mobile device, I have to log in from your home IP address area at least once every 30 days. So that way, if you're traveling more than 30 days, you're even going to lose access to your own account. These things already exist. It's just now Disney's, you know, really trying to team up with Charter. It's kind of funny. It's a different take. Netflix is always kind of jokingly talked about. They don't care. They recognize that for every one of their 14 million subscribers or however many people they have now, there's probably five other people using that password, and Netflix just doesn't care. They've put zero effort into curbing this, and they'd rather just focus on
user
experience.
Well, with like Netflix, you have to pay for however many screens you want to be able to watch on at one time. So I think they're just banking that if I'm watching Netflix and I loan someone my password, that whoever I loan my password is going to log in at the same time I'm logged in. And if I'm not paying for multiple screens, because like I think I pay for the higher package with Netflix, so I get 4K, and I think I get four screens to watch my content on at once. I think the basic is just two screens. So I think that's kind of how they police it. Like if you're paying for two screens, they don't give a shit. You know, two screens is two screens, four screens is four screens. You want to share your family plan, like, you know, but I think that's essentially maybe what they'll end up doing is offering family plans like Spotify. So I pay for Spotify's family plan because me and my girlfriend both had, you know, Spotify accounts, and we were both paying the $9.99 a month. So we just merged it into I upgraded my $9.99 to $14.99 family plan. And now we both have Spotify. We save $5, and I have two other accounts I could give out at any point I wanted to because the family plan has four.
Oh, okay.
So I think Netflix just does it with screens. Hulu, like you said, is a little more stricter about it. But I think this is Disney Plus's way of just saying, you know, preemptively 2 months before it comes out, like, everyone buy subscriptions because you're not going to be able to password share. They want that initial first rush of release to be actual, like, quantifiable numbers of how many users they have, including, you know, password shares.
I think it's right in line with Disney, right? This is what they do. There's no real surprise there. It's just for those of you looking forward to Disney Plus coming out, as we'll continue to talk about it as we near it.
Yeah, that mouse is a fucking savage.
Yeah, he's not going to make it easy on you to share your password. You gotta be a little creative if you're trying to save your, what is it? Is it $14.99 now or $13.99 plan?
Yeah, you're gonna send Goofy to your house to take your kneecaps.
But speaking of Disney Plus, we got some other news in Disney Plus and potential show that maybe get added to the slate there, as there's a lot of rumors around Ewan McGregor reprising his role of Obi-Wan Kenobi in a series on Disney Plus.
This is like one of those things that you hear and it's too good to be true. Like, you just can't. Like, I don't even want to get my hopes up. Like, I didn't even want to read the article, to tell you the truth. Like, because at first you're hoping for, like, a Solo-type movie, an Obi-Wan, like, movie, kind of like they gave Solo, where, you know, it focuses on that missing time. But if they're going to give us, like, a TV show, you're talking seasons, you're talking, like, a really long, in-depth, like, plot line. They talk about it possibly involving Darth Vader, like... That would be some really epic shit. So, like, you would think it would end up being, like, a high-level production, like the Star Wars, or, Game of Thrones or something, you know, to where if Ewan McGregor is willing to do a TV show, it's not going to be some fucking Arrowverse-style Star Wars show, you know?
Yeah, I would agree, but I love the fact that it's rumors of a TV show, not just a single hit movie. You can give me, you know, a 12 hours of the exiled old Ben out on Tatooine. Tell the story of how he gets there. Like, I mean, there's some interesting stuff to it that I would actually much rather see in a lower budget, lower production value show over 12 episodes for a single season. And then, hey, give me more seasons if we can sign them on for it.
Yeah, we kind of went over this week as we were guests on the Take a Knee from Marvel versus DC podcast. If you want to go check that out, they released Sunday. But we had talked about the level of television coming out now and the way movies are going and how we would much rather have these long, you know, like you said, 12 episodes, 12 hours per season, 3 to 5 seasons, you know, to tell these stories, just because you get so much more time to develop these characters. It's not in a rush. You're not, you know, constrained to the 2 to 3 hour time limit the movie does. And I think that'd be a great way to tell these stories, you know, in that long, drawn out form.
Yeah, so hopefully the rumors aren't just you know, some smart PR person at Disney just making leaks as Disney Plus is coming out.
Somebody's
just keeping
for sure
the PR going.
My fucking emotions, man. Someone for sure. Like, if this actually doesn't come to fruition, like, someone needs to be punched.
I mean, the actor who played Jar Jar, he was tweeting out that this is an absolute must, and Ewan's such a great guy, that should happen. So if Jar Jar has spoken, I think everybody just needs to get on board.
Misa don't give a fuck.
But to come out of entertainment for a second, let's talk about how the future of obesity is now. And we've got some Stanford researchers who are looking at doing a multi-year study. So I think they're going to study this over the next 4 or 5 years. But there's four individuals who have agreed. We're talking about obese individuals who have agreed to become microchipped. Microchips placed in the brain. They're going to give them small electric shocks when they think about food. And this is an effort to curb their appetite and see if we can use some microchipping to correct behavior.
Yeah, this goes kind of with our Neuralink discussion we had a few weeks ago. I don't know, man. I really don't know. This is really interesting. The fact that, you know, we have like the lap band surgeries and things like that. You know, you put a rubber band around someone's stomach so they can't eat as much. And I mean, that works great for people. Fucking Al Sharpton looks like he got cancer, not lap band surgery. You know what I mean? Like he dropped LBs, son. And this is kind of like another form of that, but like, I don't know, man. Like hooking shit up to my brain is just another level of scary. You know, is it food specific? Like, does it shut off a certain time? Like I have these windows where I can eat and think of food. And if I think of food, you know, like how many Burger King commercials are there on fucking television? I'm gonna get zapped every time my television commercial.
That's what I find funny. Like let these four individuals go watch, you know, the Super Bowl and just get inundated with chip commercials and fast food commercials and just getting zapped. And how does the brain or the microchip identify which ones are like their thoughts of taking action towards eating food and their thoughts of just watching kale?
Like, you know, like what if I'm thinking about some nice healthy salads? Like,
yeah, it's to me. I will absolutely love when the results come out of this. Hopefully it continues to progress, and then I'm sure it'll get picked up in press releases and everything else down the road as far as what the results of the research program shows. But if it works, it's opened up a whole new door to like rehab programs.
I was gonna say,
day like one of AA, you get chipped, and you think about walking into a bar again, zap.
For my head went to I fear for every prepubescent male now, because I mean, you set that zap to porn and you're gonna have a lot of seventh, eighth graders just zapping themselves all day at school, all night at home. Like poor kids are just gonna be, you know, these just shock rats.
Interesting
where this could go.
Maybe it becomes a part of our future prison systems. You know, that's part of your rehabilitation. You on your way out, you get microchipped for whatever crime you committed, and you think about these things again.
Yeah, you're going to zap every sex offender and yep. every, like, it's, yeah, I don't know. And how powerful is the zap? How hard, you know, do you got to walk around with a car battery backpack? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how powerful could this zap possibly be if it's just hooked up to your brainstem or something?
Yeah, no idea. So there wasn't a ton of details on there, but I just find this one that the four people who have voluntarily allowed this to happen. That's a different level of dedication.
We are in a day and age of overpopulation where you can find four idiots do anything nowadays. I think we are just at the point where there's so many fucking humans that if you just take a shot in the dark and ask some random question about who's willing to do what, you're gonna find four fucking assholes to do anything you want.
That's pretty probable, I guess, at this point in time. But yeah, hopefully more to follow on this in Nerd Cantina episode. It's a couple hundred something 4 years from now as we get the results. And the people who got microchipped for this, they're going to find in the next 4 years Neuralink's going to be out, and they could have done this and had access to mentally scroll porn. So then what's the point of just the microchip?
Yeah.
Next up, this is a topic you brought to me yesterday as it kind of ties into an episode we'll have in the future, but the Apex Legends nonsense.
Yeah, so there was an Apex Legends forum where the developers were talking about how they're trying to, you know, they're trying to even out the game. You know, they want to have microtransactions because it is a free downloadable game. So they do need to make money. So they're trying to figure out a way to have in-game purchases to be profitable, but also not give players tactical advantages to those who actually pay for these microtransactions. So that's always like the big gripe with these free games is like if it's free to play, the playing field still needs to be level for those that aren't paying any money and those that are paying money, you know. So like Fortnite does it pretty well. Can't buy any special guns. You can't buy, you know, all it is skins and dances and things like that. So you don't get a tactical advantage when you play. So they made a few announcements, and I think it revolved around characters, being able to buy characters, and characters have roles in these games. So they're afraid that if you pay for a role, that you'll have somewhat of an advantage over other players. And so, of course, the internet let these developers have it in an AMA type thread. The developers were actually on the thread, and they were just calling them fucking shitheads and you fucking morons and this and that. Well, eventually, one of the developers put up a post. It was like, look, guys, like, we're trying to make money. You know we need to make money. You're not going to be able to play this game unless it's somewhat profitable. We're trying to figure out how to be profitable and keep the game fair for everyone. We're doing our best, but we have a few, you know, asshats that can't, you know, that are just are vocal about this and vocal about that. Well, the minute a developer called one of these toxic forum posters an asshat, the whole fucking forum board lit into these dudes. And, you know, to their point, you know, it's like, it's okay for you guys to come on here and shit all over our game and shit all over everything we work for. But the minute I call you an asshat for having this not just an opinion, but a very toxic way of expressing it, now I'm the fucking bad guy. Like, I'm the fucking asshole because I pour my life and soul into developing a game, and you people just shit all over it, and I get upset. And you know, it's a really, you know, like you said, we talk about this in a Cantina conversation that I'll be releasing in a week or so. But yeah, it's a very toxic communities. The expectation level of a lot of gamers isn't really realistic, you know, nowadays. Every game's got to release on time, be perfect. No load screens. Give me all the shit. I don't want to pay no money. It's a touchy subject nowadays.
Yeah, that, and you know, it's the internet. So you've got a bunch of individuals who are going to say things that they would absolutely never say to a game developer's face. If they met these game developers at a convention or whatever else, they'd be shaking their hands and so thankful and so nice. And then they'd go home that night, get up behind a computer and tell them they're pieces of shit, and, you know, they'd kill them if they saw them on the street, right? It's the internet tough guy nonsense. And, it's only getting worse. And I don't know what these people expect. Like, there's what the game developers are saying about the pricing model and everything else. It makes sense. If you want to play these games like Fortnite and Apex and you want to be able to play them and it's free to play, You have to assume they're going to make money somewhere. Otherwise, you're going to stop getting your updates. You're going to stop getting the next season. You're going to stop seeing this happen because these are now fully staffed development teams that are constantly updating and creating these games. It's not the $60 game that you bought one time, you put the disc in, and it never changes. And it just stays the way it is. You paid your $60 and you're set.
Yeah,
no, you're coming in for free.
I've always given mad credit to Blizzard and how they handle Overwatch. So I bought Overwatch the week it came out for $60. They've given me like 8 maps, like 10 new characters over the last 3-4 years, whatever it's been. And I haven't paid an extra dollar. You know, but they have that loot system where you can level up and get a loot box to get new costumes, or you could buy them. You could buy a box, a random box, and try to unpack it. And I'm guessing they make enough money from people buying boxes to compensate to for the further development of the game. And I love the fact that in order to get the two new, you know, maps for Overwatch, you don't have to pay for a $10 DLC. Like no, as long as we keep making new costumes and dance emotes and things like that, we'll be able to stay profitable. And just, you know, for you players that just wanted to pay $60 and don't care about these things, just keep playing. Just keep our community vibrant and keep playing. And I commend them kind of for having that model. And the same thing with the Fortnites and Apexes. This is a new age of gaming that we're in, where people are working for years to develop a game, put it out. I mean, if you still to this day, if you load Fortnite to go play it, it still says beta in the corner.
Yeah.
Like, really? Really? We're still in a fucking beta? You just gave a kid a fucking $3 million in a fucking Fortnite tournament. We're playing the beta version still, assholes. Like, come on. You know,
And Fortnite, I think, has changed gaming and changed how they're gonna monetize it. You know, Fortnite they released the game almost on that mobile platform model of, you know, free to download in-game add-ons or whatever else is how they're going to make money.
So, and some gamer got hooked to Candy Crush and was just like, we should make every fucking game like this.
I mean, it's working incredibly well. And I think we're just going to see more and more games like this that are going to have that downstream model of making money.
You're still going to have your $60 games, your RPGs, your Elder Scrolls, your Gears, your things like that. But I think the video game industry is doing a really good job of not going the way of the record company, right? Like, the record company used to rake in all kinds of money from records, CDs, and then streaming came along and, you know, basically almost wiped out that whole industry because they couldn't keep up with the times. They couldn't, you know, Napster came out and it fucked up their whole lives. And now they're kind of readjusting the model of how they make money. I think the video game industry is doing a really good job of keeping up with the times and pivoting and shifting into ways to keep fans happy, offer good content, yet stay profitable.
Yeah, it's just if any of our nerds here are listening and you feel like you should go on Reddit and destroy somebody for, you know, microtransactions and things in a free game, I'm going to say you should probably just check your expectations and figure this out. You are going to get monetized some way. So unless you want the ad banner streaming going across your screen while you're playing Fortnite, while you're playing Apex Legends, don't get mad if they're constantly giving you pop-ups to buy the latest skin and the latest, like, whatever.
What's the future?
You don't have to buy them.
Commercials during load screens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and I wouldn't be mad at them for it. If you're going to give a free game, I'm not mad at you if you do that. If you have an ad banner or whatever else, or you have load screens that have whatever McDonald's commercial going through.
Yeah, I mean,
it just makes sense.
Like, you get what you pay for, man. Like, that's a rule in life. You get what you pay for.
Now, when they do this to the $60 games, you know, and they have that same exact kind of system, well, maybe I'll have a problem then. Maybe that's a different thing we're talking about. The Fortnites, the Apexes, any of these free games that are going to be coming out, I think we're going to see more and more, especially in like the indie games side of things. Don't be mad if they're trying to find a way to make money off you. That's how this works.
Yeah, you try to fucking create something. And see if you don't want a couple fucking dollars for all that hard work. Hashtag NerdCantina /Patreon.
All right. Well,
we got a few space topics today. Let's leave this fucking planet and all the problems again and head to outer space.
So I've gone into some deep dives of looking into different articles and stuff on a lot of the nonsense that's happened with the space stuff. Really, I think I am nothing but a victim of Google algorithms. You look at one article and you just get 1,000 of them. I don't know if the Yosemite volcano is going to erupt, But what I do know is I get 15 articles a day about it. And it really seems like it's going to kill us all.
You go to you go to Yosemite once and now.
Or not Yosemite, Yellowstone. But the Yellowstone supervolcano, I don't know how dire it is and if everybody's paying attention to it. But I can't go on the internet or go on my news feeds without seeing three articles about how close it is.
See, like, that's funny
because
I haven't heard shit about it.
Exactly.
I haven't heard a goddamn thing about it.
I am 100% a victim of the algorithms. And you want to know what? I still click those fucking articles. Because
that's why. That's why. They've hacked your brain.
They got me. I am predictable. I am unsophisticated. And they know exactly what I'm going to follow. Well, now, asteroids and space, whatever else, I think it probably stems from when I first started doing the research into that 2019 OK asteroid that we talked about a couple weeks ago that that was a near miss that nobody saw coming. Because the trajectory of that asteroid came in line with the sun, so our telescopes couldn't pick it up through the brightness of the sun. And it flew between us and the moon, which is relatively close for
how fast the Earth is rotating around the sun. Like imagine if you set up a solar system and it's the planets are spinning around. And you had a Nerf gun and you actually had to try to shoot Earth. That would be really fucking hard. You know what I mean? Like the timing, the you know, figuring out all that math to be able to even come close to shooting the planet on its way around the sun to get it in line. That would be a tricky shot. You know, and then you add in the just vastness of space for an asteroid to come between us and the moon. Like, that's actually really fucking scary to me.
Yeah, and that one came out of nowhere. I did a fair amount of research before talking about that here on the podcast. And then now, every day I'm getting news alerts. I'm getting all kinds of stuff about asteroids. So one of the news alerts that really doesn't have any kind of implication that we can understand is like our black hole in the center of the Milky Way. We've got a black hole that just went 2 times brighter than it's ever been detected before. It increased its brightness that day by like 75 times over a couple hour span. And we caught it purely by accident because we just happened to have telescopes that were watching something nearby and able to then see this brightness event. What's crazy is that nobody knows how to explain it, and that in itself is a bit scary and fascinating, as I'm sure people are going to try to figure out what's going on, what kind of new energy is being consumed or created by that black hole.
Well, isn't that kind of like a major problem with space anyways? Like, you can only discover the shit you're looking at and you can see, and there's like, imagine it's like trying to keep an eye on your kid and like from the top of the water slide at the water park, you know, like you can only look at so many areas at one time. Like, you're only going to see so many things. Like, this black hole could do this shit every decade, once a decade. But if we ain't looking at it directly at that moment, when it happens, right when it happens, we just assume that shit's going.
It never happened.
Yeah. Shit's going as normal on average, you know? Not to mention, with space being so far, how many light years away, this didn't happen when we seen it. It happened fucking how many years ago, you know, and the light source is just getting to us now. Like, it's, you know, there's a lot of things that when you talk about space, it's hard to rationalize these things in especially our head. I mean, if you're NGT, you know, he's got it all figured out in his head. He knows exactly what to, you know, to think when he hears these things. You know, like for us, I just assumed someone from the future just came back here and
somebody just warped in.
Somebody just fucking warped in, and now it's only a matter of time before we make contact.
That's possible. Yeah. It is interesting, and there's so much vastness of space. Our telescopes constantly need to be improving if we want to continue to improve our understanding of the universe as a whole. This specific black hole was detected by one of the major like super telescopes that exist on one of the mountains in Hawaii. you know, there's major protests. If you haven't paid attention to Jason Momoa and The Rock and other individuals, Polynesian individuals who are trying to prevent another major telescope from getting placed on one of the sacred mountains on the Hawaiian Islands, you can go ahead and do some deep dive into what that is.
All I know is we actually get hit by one of these asteroids. I'm blaming all you grass skirt wearing motherfuckers. Okay.
We didn't see it coming. It's just there's a lot to be understood, and these telescopes can only do so much. We look at still how much data we're getting from like the Hubble telescope, and that thing is well beyond its service life. We got way more out of the Hubble than what was ever anticipated, and it's still going. So you know, having more things like that, cool. Hopefully, we can identify that stuff. But it all goes into the next thing that I just keep diving into, and this it's kind of like these asteroids and asteroid defense. And there's some fascinating things that are coming out. One of them it's not really new news, but it's just something that I've kind of come into and I wanted to talk about, is these asteroid defense plans and what does asteroid defense look like? Because really there's asteroids that will eventually hit us. If you didn't know, in 2013, there was a meteor that detonated above a Russian town. Can't remember the name of that town, but there was an asteroid. It blew up Chelyabinsk. Chelyabinsk, Russia. A meteor, it exploded above that town, hospitalized like 1,600 people. It had the effect of multiple nuclear weapons in the air. The shockwaves were felt for hundreds of miles. We're talking about some real damage. And that's in a pretty high above air detonation. And we're only talking, less than 100 meters, meteor. Well, meteors that are less than 500 meters, it's only estimated that we're tracking about a third of them. So there's two thirds of meteors that are larger than that one that we just can't see. The space is too vast. There's too much noise. We can't even detect more than two thirds of these. And, these events like what happened in 2013, statistically, we estimate only happens maybe once every 100 years. But that doesn't mean it can't happen again in 2019, 2020, or whatever.
We base a lot of our rationality off statistics. We have, you know, I think, you know, we talked about Neil deGrasse Tyson's tweet last week about statistics and things like that. And yeah, we think about some more than others. Some of them feel more prevalent in our lives than others, despite the actual numbers. You know, so trying to convince someone that we should be worried about space rocks, it's not that easy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, not until we know one's about to hit us. Like, it would take, like, Armageddon seems like such a ridiculous movie because, like, how did they not see this coming? Well, because the truth is that would it be exactly real life. Like, nobody would admit that it's coming or that it's a problem until it's a fucking problem. Like,
yeah.
nobody's gonna listen to the trajectories of the, you know, 1 in 1,000 chance what it looks like if something hits us. So there's an asteroid in 2029 that is it's the name of it is Apophis. It's got some crazy nickname that I can't remember right now, and it very well may hit us. It's a really low likelihood. And we're looking at it in 2029, it's going to come, close-ish again, inside kind of the moon's orbit, based off its current trajectory. They're listing a 1 in 4,000 chance it hits us.
We have NASA scientists that predict satellites landing on planets or, you know, like, didn't we land something on Jupiter just recently or something like that? Either way, when we send a probe to Mars, they quantify when it's going to get there and where it's going to land down to the second and the millimeter of where it's going to land.
The
like these mathematical equations that these NASA scientists figure out, they're usually dead nuts on.
Yeah, which is why I guess if you're going to go by that theory, then it's not going to hit us. All right, so there's really only a 1 in 4,500 chance if you go by what the projections are and what the models are saying. And But projection models, they sometimes fail. Originally, I think this Apophis, it's God of Chaos is the nickname they've given this meteor, which is spectacular, by the way.
Yeah.
And this specific asteroid, it's changed its trajectory. Originally, it was thought, I think, that it was going to have that close orbit to us around 2023. And now they're pushing it back to 2029. So when it interacts with other gravitational fields and other things, that there is still a lot out there that our scientists can't 100% predict.
That's the thing is we know the gravitational pull of most of the planets around us and things like that. Those are easy to quantify. But how an asteroid of this size affects those gravitational pulls with its velocity, with its mass, that's really not as easy to quantify, so there are some variables that go into this equation. And when they land these probes on these planets, they know all of these numbers, in our normal space habitat, they can quantify down to the centimeter, of where this thing's going to land into the exact second of when it's going to arrive. But once you throw in the variable of a space rock that you can't really, you can kind of measure it, but you don't know the exact measurements. You don't really know exactly what it's made of, so you don't know its density. You don't know if it has its own gravitational pull and what that strength is. It throws, some variables into that equation that make it a crapshoot.
Yeah, and so there's no reason to think or have better faith in like our government and international governments to think that we would handle this any better than Armageddon. Like, no, we're going to wait until there's true signs that there's probably already people dying, and that this thing is on a 100% collision course that needs an emergency response, and then we're going to get Bruce Willis out in space drilling holes into an asteroid.
Yeah, the current administration gives me no faith that we're going to be able to handle this in any meaningful fashion.
Yeah, but there are people talking about asteroid defense plans and what it would look like and ideally, and there's one actually getting tested, which is kind of cool. So there's a program called DART, which in 2022 is going to attempt the first asteroid redirection. And it's actually a really cool idea. So there's an asteroid called Didymos, Didymos A and Didymos B. So Didymos A is this massive super asteroid, and Didymos B is another smaller one on that city killer size, that like 500 meter size. And a 500 meter asteroid is like the size of the pyramids in Giza when you're talking about total mass. So we're not talking about necessarily something small. But
relative to Earth, it's not that big.
Relative to Earth, it's not that big, but it would level a city with, the power of a couple, a megaton nuclear device. And Didymos B orbits Didymos A because A is so large. And the goal is in 2022, this is in action right now. This DART plan is that they're going to take a space shuttle and kamikaze this fucking thing into Didymos B in order to hopefully have a 1% impact on the trajectory of Didymos B around Didymos A. So that way we can measure how much we were able to change it. We're hoping to make like a 1% change, because realistically a 1% change on an asteroid that we know is on a collision course with us is enough to have it either orbit ahead of us or behind us. That's about all you need to do is just nudge an asteroid. You don't need to blow it up like what you see in Armageddon. You just need to alter its trajectory if you catch it early enough in its trajectory path that we're able to predict that it's...
My fear is that we do some kind of... Yeah, you ever play 8-ball pool and you shoot you shoot that last shot and you hit that 8-ball right in and you're like, you just get that big, I just fucking won. You're standing on your pool cue. And then that cue ball just keeps rolling and keeps rolling. And next thing you know, goes into the pocket and you realize you fucked yourself and you just lost. And everything. Like, are we, like, is this thing for sure going to hit us? Like, can we nudge it in the wrong direction or end up fucking ourselves in the long run?
I mean, it's possible. So this Didymos A and B are not on collision courses with us. These are just ones we're testing. So the reason why we're testing this specific one, and the reason why it's in 2022 and no sooner than 2022, in September of 2022, is because what we hurl at Didymos B is going to get destroyed. We can get no measurements from it. We can get no nothing other than hopefully just a really cool, like, grainy footage of this thing kamikazing at it, right? But in September 2022, that is the closest orbit that Didymos, that pair of asteroids has to the U.S. So we can make measurable detections of it with Earthbound, Earth-based telescopes.
I got a feeling so it's going to be like throwing a paper plane at your house trying to move it.
But our houses aren't in, you know, free fall, and Didymos B is. It's in orbit. Right now it orbits around Didymos A every 12 hours. So we're trying to make it to where it orbits around Didymos A every 12 hours and 15 minutes, right? And to make a slight change in its orbiting speed to where that we can actually measure it. And in September 2022, it'll be close enough for us to measure these things, which is why that collision's planned to take place then. And we'll see if that actually is able to make a change that is detectable, that then can be replicated someday if something's on a collision course with Earth.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's fascinating whether it works or not. That's the point of doing these things, right?
It could just, like I said, it could just be, and it could be, least, it could do nothing. It could do immense harm. There's a lot of things that could come out of this.
But at least it's,
I'm getting older.
Attempt.
I'm not going to be here forever. Fuck it. throw shit at asteroids. I'm not going to live forever.
I think this is super cool. And at least they're attempting something that looks like asteroid defense and something that may be able to be replicated.
This is a bunch of nerds in NASA lab coats. Like
just trying to smash an entire spaceship.
Yeah.
Like, this is so fucking cool. I don't know. Like, people will watch Mythbusters to watch a Portageon blow up. Like, this is, we're talking about a billion-dollar spaceship.
This is the NASA equivalent of, like, them trying to find a way to blow shit up in space.
Yeah. Super cool. And then the last thing to talk about in space, as we got a few minutes left here, is then if all this fails and we can't stop ourselves from asteroids, well, Elon Musk is still wanting to colonize Mars, and he has doubled down on some tweets and some interviews that he's had about nuking Mars before. He's doubling down on it now.
Dude is just the master of Twitter speculation.
He's great, and he's Lex Luthor. He is the closest we'll ever probably get to Lex Luthor, and we'll see if he turns evil one day. But he wants to nuke Mars, and the whole goal is to nuke Mars with some like megaton nuclear devices at the two poles of Mars in an attempt to create greater carbon, so that will superheat the surface. It'll create almost like a sun effect on the poles of Mars, hopefully creating a superheating situation that increases its carbon dioxide, which then the carbon dioxide buildup can hopefully then make an atmosphere. Now, most like legitimate scientists in the astrophysics realm say that this is never going to work. Right now, Mars has like a 0.6% of our atmosphere's worth of carbon dioxide. And by their estimates, by scientific estimates, detonating these nuclear devices is going to maybe increase it to like 1.6%. Like, still like less than 5% of our atmosphere. So the fact that you're going to build a habitable atmosphere simply by this, to me, that just sounds like we got to go like Tim the Toolman Taylor on this thing and just go more power and just really get bigger nukes.
I think that's about it. The minute he can prove that the hypothesis is true, then it's just going to be like more nukes.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. But, you know, people who are far smarter than me say that this is a really dumb idea.
And the people far smarter than you are also throwing a plane at an asteroid for fun.
Yeah.
So
either way,
let's keep it all relative here.
I mean, just for curiosity's sake, I say nuke Mars.
Yeah,
I don't really give a shit.
Like I said,
we've ruined this planet. What do I care about ruining another one?
I'm going to be 40 soon. I'm halfway through my life cycle. Like, fuck it, man. Blow up all this shit. I want to see it, you know? Like,
yeah. So he when he tweeted, he said, yeah, nuke Mars, and he said t-shirts to come.
He said t-shirts, I'm going to have to buy one. I'm going to have to buy one.
I mean, I already suggested that we should just have a Nerd Cantina nuke Mars shirt. Let's go ahead and just put that on the merchandise page, because this is a great plan. I support it. Elon, he's a busy man. We'll see if there are already t-shirts. If you go look up Amazon stores, there are already
t-shirts. This is a man who made a flamethrower by like accident because he could. Like, oh, there's no regulations on these things? Oh, we were making thrusters that shoot big flames? Oh, we could put that in a pocket-sized prototype? Oh, fuck it, do it.
So, there's greatness happening in space, and hopefully it all pans out and it ends up being all these things should happen, right? Nuking Mars, kamikazing space shuttles. Let's do every one of these things all at the same time, all in my lifetime for sure.
So that way
we could see
all
what
while
happens.
We're recording these podcasts like this is
And if any of you listeners out there are far smarter on this than me, as I'm just constantly going in deep dives with these random articles, let us know. Join in the community and let us know where your hopefully credentialed understanding of these things that we're us two dummies are talking about.
Yeah, we need to like Facebook target ad some like really big
smart people to bring them into the group.
Bring them into the group because I would definitely love for some really smart person to just be like, you dummies, and let us know. But that's, I think, going to wrap up our show for today. We did a lot of space news and kept it really out there. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us, as always, on any podcast player. You can head to thenerdcantina.com/community to join that Facebook group and let us know if our ideas are off or if we're not factually correct. We try to do a good job, but you can always fact check us. We just launched a shirt to help our friends at takethis.org on the merchandise tab. So if you go, we have a hashtag video games are not to blame shirt on the merchandise store. A portion of those proceeds are going to go to takethis.org to help combat the stigma that violence in video games is one of the causes of violence in real life. It's something important to our community, and we want to try to do something to help and bring awareness. So we figured a t-shirt would do both. So if you want to support the cause, if you want to bring awareness, pick up one of them shirts. And as always, share the show, like, comment, do all that fun jazz. Help us out at the cantina, get to our larger audience and grow this community. So we hope you enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next time, nerds.
Real quick, we just wanted to mention one of our favorite new apps, which is PodCoin. So assuming that because you're listening to our podcast today, that you happen to be a podcasting nerd. And if you are, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't want to get paid for your time.
I'm a big fan of getting paid to do stuff that I do in my daily routine. Anyways, I sign up for all the rewards programs possible. And with PodCoin, you actually get paid to listen to podcasts. So every minute that goes by that you're listening to your podcast, you are throwing away potential money.
So go ahead, download PodCoin app on either through iTunes or through the Google Play Store. And when you sign up with the promo code NerdCantina.
One word. That'll get you 300 free coins towards your account and get you on your way to earning that first reward from either Amazon gift card, Target gift cards, all kinds of things. You could also donate your coins to your favorite charity that they offer. If you're going to be listening to podcasts anyways, you might as well get some free stuff for doing it. So download the PodCoin app, put in the code NerdCantina, get your free coins, and start earning money while you listen to our show.